In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's Gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ states that the lamp of the body is the eye, and that if this eye is good and healthy, the body will be full of light, but if it is under the influence of evil, the body will be full of darkness. One thing we must establish on the front end of this homily is that in our understanding of man, our anthropology, we being the church, what the church has always taught is that we are a unity of body, soul, and spirit. A unity, okay? The eye of the heart, which our Lord Jesus Christ refers to here, is the nous. We've talked about this many times through the years. The eye of the heart. It's that center of your being. It is that spiritual faculty which, when properly energized by God, enables us to experience His presence and His glory in such a way that permeates our entire being, body, soul, and spirit. The theologian Father John Romanides, of thrice blessed memory, taught that in paradise, the first man, Adam, was in the state of an illumined nous. An illumined nous. A nous that was full of the light of God, and through which he communed with God. But after the fall, because of his disobedience and rebellion against God through the deception of the evil one, our adversary, our very real adversary, the devil, he lost contact with God, and the eye of his heart, that center of his being, which had previously been filled with the uncreated light of God, had now become darkened and full of death. The greatest tragedy known to man. It is the tragedy of tragedies. All other tragedies emanate from this tragedy. This state of darkness and death presented itself through man's enslavement to the passions. So Father Romanides, along with many others in the church, taught that human nature must be restored to its former state of illumination and communion with God. This emphasis on experiencing God, on encountering Him, as we pray, as we repent from our sins, as we do good deeds of mercy, as we learn to love Him, this very real encounter with the living God. For this to happen, the heart must be cleansed from the passions, and the nous, that eye of the heart, must be illuminated. Human nature must be restored to a relationship with God that brings life instead of death. The world out there is full of death because the world has forgotten God. The world's message to you and to me is forget Him. You don't need Him. As a matter of fact, He doesn't even exist. That's the message the world sends to us. His Grace, Bishop Nicholas, in his homily yesterday when we were in West Palm Beach at the Parish Life Conference, alluded to, you know, the very edifying time we had together for those 3 days. But he warned us. He said, now you go back out into the world, a world which neither understands nor accepts the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we come here to be fortified, but we have to go back out. We have to carry this living hope out to the world, because that is part of our responsibility as Christians. That is part of our responsibility as the people of God. That is part of our responsibility as individuals that are part of the royal priesthood. And we have been called to this. And this is a beautiful thing. So in all of this, our human nature is restored. There is a redemption that takes place experientially, incrementally, in our lives. I know I've said this before, but I heard a priest say one time that in looking at our lives, we should see our life as a lifetime project. a lifetime project of working on ourselves, first and foremost. So this restoration has to take place, and it takes place in the church, not in isolation, not as lone rangers, not as separated individuals, but it takes place within the body of Christ, because all of us are working, all of us are involved in this lifetime project. We all need to encourage each other. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes it seems impossible. I remember a priest friend of mine. I asked him one time, many years ago, how things were going in his church. And he looked at me and smiled and he said, "Glorious and wretched. Glorious and horrible. Glorious and, you know, frustrating." But he said the glory of God was in all of it. Such a beautiful answer. And I know he meant it too. So the body of Christ is where the life of God may be accessed. It is the life of the Holy Trinity. It is here that it is available to you and to me for our healing. And in this sense, the church becomes a hospital, a place where the soul can be made well. Within the church, we learn to worship God and to seek His will for our lives. We also learn within the church to confess our sins and to turn away from our sins back to God. This is so fundamental to this movement toward God. And within the church, we remember God. This God that made us, this God that loves us, this God that will save us if we allow Him, if we accept this free gift of grace and mercy, this God in whom the world has no belief. We remember Him, and we encounter Him in that remembrance. It is an experiential remembrance, anamnesis. It is not just calling to mind some historical event or some historical person. It is knowing that historical person that is still alive today and available to you and to me in a very, very intimate and personal way. Father John Romanides identified two basic aspects of life in the church, one negative and one positive. The positive aspect first. The positive aspect that of the body of Christ being of a communion of glorification, which brings a love for God, joy over His forgiveness of our sins, and thankfulness for His many blessings. The negative aspect of life in the church is the battle that we are called to fight against sin, death, and the devil. Father Romanides taught that the more we confront the forces of darkness, that is the negative aspect of the church, of the life in the church, the more we experience the positive aspect of the church. The positive aspect of church life. What a paradox. God loves paradoxes. He is a paradox to us. He teaches us things that don't seem to make sense to us, at least initially, and He teaches them to us in ways that don't seem to make sense, at least initially. So as we fight the good fight, we become more acquainted with our Lord. We must always fight that fight by His grace, by His mercy, by the strength and power and righteousness that He alone can provide to us. In other words, as we confront our sins and refuse to yield to them, we become closer to God. Now, one such passion that the devil likes to afflict us with is mentioned today specifically in our gospel, and that being anxiety. I mean, we've all experienced anxiety. We all struggle with anxiety in one form or another from time to time. Our Lord does not want us to spend our lives in fear of deprivation of the basic needs of our lives or any threat that we may perceive in our life. He wants, where He is, there is peace. because He is the master of the universe. And where He is, He wants to reign, and He will reign. It's up to us to open the door of our heart. It is up to us to turn away from the things that would prevent His coming to our life and manifesting Himself in our life every single day. So we can so easily get worried about things that don't matter, that will matter not at all in eternity. What will we wear? What will we eat? Where will we live? Where will we work? When we are preoccupied with questions and fears such as these, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten Him when we let those things rule us day in and day out. We have dismissed Him from our conscience because we do not think that He will take care of us. It is, without a doubt, a form of doubt. It is a form of disbelief. Even though we may not even understand that it is that into which we have fallen. Today in our epistle reading, I love this passage in Romans, we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." That's the power. That's the remedy. That's the medicine right there. The grace and the glory of God in which we are called to stand day in and day out. And not only that, we go to verse 3, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Every day there are challenges. Every day we are tempted to be anxious, to worry, to doubt that God is even there, or if He is, that He can or will help us. Every single day, the more we confront the disbelief, the temptation to not believe, to not trust, the closer we come to Him. Every day when we overcome whatever passion that might have its grip on us, and anxiety is one of the most powerful ones, but it is certainly not the only one. By the grace of God, every day as we have these little victories, then we draw near to Him. And we share the sufferings of Christ that we might also share in the victory and the glory of Christ over sin, over death, over the fear of death, over the fear of anything. So, dearly beloved, let us give thanks to God for the many blessings that He has given us. Let us not doubt Him, but let us not give over to the fears and the anxieties of this world. Let us guard our hearts. Let us guard the eye of our heart, being careful where we cast our affections, being careful how much we love the things of this world that are perishing. Our love primarily must be directed toward Him who made us, our Lord Jesus Christ. And for all eternity, we will be with Him. If we truly trust Him, if we truly repent of our sins, and truly walk with Him. May God give us the grace we need to do this. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One God. Amen.